Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 30 September 2025, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The current ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel, Satan. And he is a super genius. And he's doing his damnedest to win the angelic conflict. His number one strategy to win the angelic conflict is to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. Destroy Israel. And as we speak this evening, he has shifted gears. Anti-Semitism is now all over planet Earth, in every nation, anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a vicious, satanic evil. And it's here in America. It's all over in America. It's in our colleges and universities. The so-called great colleges back east, Harvard, a hotbed of anti-Semitism. In Israel, my glory, the September-October issue, Ty Perry has an article about anti-Semitism in Australia. It's all over the world. It's in our nation, and we're the client nation to God. And we have tremendous anti-Semitism. There's a mayor running in New York who is totally anti-Semitic and would love to see Israel destroyed and the Jews destroyed. And he's the number one person to be elected there. How can that happen in a client nation to God? It can happen if that client nation to God is in apostasy and degeneracy. And we are. And we're about that far away from the fifth cycle of national discipline. But we're still here, so there's hope. There's hope. The only hope for America is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope for America. The Lord Jesus Christ. And a spiritual revival in our nation. And that means the grace gospel going all over America, that many sons might be brought into glory. You see, you are royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's why we have the Upland Bible Church evangelism team, to bring Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In this article, Anti-Semitism Down Under, Israeli influencer Max Pfeiffer regularly engages with people who hold anti-Israel views. But one encounter he had in February 2025 shocked the Jewish world. Via an app that randomly pairs users around the globe for video chats, Pfeiffer spoke with Ahmad Rashad Nader and Sarah Abu Lebda, both nurses at the time at Bankstown Lidcombe Hospital in New South Wales, Australia. When Nader, a 27-year-old Afghan refugee who falsely claimed to be a doctor, learned that Pfeiffer was from Israel, he said Pfeiffer would go to hell for serving in the Israel Defense Forces. Lebda, a 26-year-old Muslim, joined in telling Pfeiffer he would suffer in hell because he killed innocent people, and that one day your time will come and you will die the most horrible death. When Pfeiffer asked them what would they do if an Israeli needed care and came to their hospital, Lebda answered, "I won't treat him, I'll kill him. If a Jew comes to our hospital, I'll kill him." You have no idea how many You have no idea how many Israeli dogs came to this hospital, and I sent them all to hell. She killed them all. In a hospital in Australia. Well, footage of the encounter drew immediate condemnation from Australian officials. This exchange is only part of a recurring nightmare for Australia's Jewish community. 2 days after Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack on Israel, the Sydney Opera House was lit with the colors of the Israeli flag. Outside, anti-Israel protesters chanted anti-Semitic slogans, including a threatening cry of, "Where's the Jews?" In February 2024, a private list of Australian Jewish creatives, members of a WhatsApp group devoted to dealing with anti-Semitism in the arts community, was released to the public. Among those who circulated the list were anti-Israel author Clementine Ford and then reporter for the New York Times. There's about the most evil paper in the world. And they are the ones that have Wordle on it. Natasha Frost, both Australians, armed with members' contact information and photos, anti-Israel activists used the leaked information to launch a massive anti-Jewish doxing campaign, sending abusive, menacing messages to the approximately 600 individuals on the list. In June 2024, anti-Israel activists vandalized Jewish labor Josh Byrne's office. They smashed windows, spray-painted slogans on the building, including one that read, "Zionism is fascism." That's Satan's favorite word to attack either Jews or Christians or conservatives. You're fascist. In the liberal's mind in this country, you're a fascist. I'm a fascist. And if you're a fascist, that means they can kill you and it's justified to kill a fascist. And they look at all of us as fascists. Woolhara, an eastern suburb of Sydney, has suffered multiple violent anti-Israel demonstrations. In November 2024, a car was sprayed with anti-Israel graffiti and set on fire. That same night, nine other cars were vandalized with anti-Israel messages, as were two apartment complexes and a restaurant. The following month, two Woolhara homes were spray-painted with anti-Israel graffiti, and another car was set ablaze. In December, Melbourne's Adas Israel Synagogue was firebombed while worshipers were still inside for morning prayers. In January 2025, a Sydney synagogue's entrance was defaced with spray-painted swastikas. Also in January, the former home of Alex Rifkin, a co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, was targeted by vandals, who evidently assumed he was still living there. This wonderfully ordinary place, which sheltered me, my wife, and our three small daughters from a global pandemic, was set on fire and destroyed. Revchkin wrote in the Free Press, one of the arsonists also scrawled, and they left the word out, something expletive Jews on the side of a nearby car. Later that month, Mount Sinai College, a private Orthodox Jewish elementary school and daycare center in Sydney, was plastered with anti-Semitic graffiti only days after its neighboring non-religious child care center was firebombed. Australian authorities have denounced these acts of anti-Semitism and established task forces to police such incidents. Still, the Jews in Australia wonder if they need to look for another home. The children of Holocaust survivors have told me they're glad their parents are not alive to see what Australia has become. But it's not just Australia. It's America. It's every nation all around planet Earth. Satan has shifted gears. He shifted gears because he's getting ready for the tribulation. And that's when he will go into light speed to absolutely annihilate the nation Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. But we know, that's why we're in the Word of God and Zechariah. God has a 4 unconditional covenants to Israel, guaranteed that they will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. 4 unconditional covenants will be given to Israel at the second advent. The only way that can happen is there has to be an Israel and Jewish people. Well, we are in Zechariah, and we are studying. There are 8 different visions given to this young prophet. Zechariah is a young prophet. 8 visions given to him from chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 6, verse 8. Vision number 1 was the vision of the red horse rider among the myrtle trees. That's chapter 1, verses 7 to 17. Vision number 2 was the vision of the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Vision number 3 was the vision of the surveyor with the measuring line, chapter 2. Vision number 4, the vision of the cleansing and the crowning of Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. And that's where we are. We've just about finished the 4th vision in chapter 3, but not quite. When we do, we go to chapter 4, and we'll be in chapter 4 tonight, I promise. We'll be in chapter 4 tonight, and chapter 4 is vision number 5, the vision of the gold lampstand and the 2 olive trees. Zechariah chapter 4. In Zechariah chapter 3, we've noted in verses 1 and 2, Joshua's condemnation by the prosecuting attorney, Satan. That's verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 3 through 5, Joshua's cleansing by the defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 6 and 7, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a challenge, a charge, a warning to Joshua. Verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this warning, this charge to Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, if condition number 1, if you will walk in my ways, God's ways, and if condition number 2, if you will keep my requirements, my mandates, then we have 3 divine blessings. Then, if you fulfill those 2 conditions, divine blessing number 1, then you will also govern my house, the temple. And likewise, divine blessing number 2, you will have charge of my courts, that is protecting the temple from idolatry and other religious defilement. And I, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, will give to you, divine blessing number 3, free access among these elect angels standing here. And that brought us to the last section, Joshua's cleansing confirmed, verses 8 through 10. And in this last section, God himself addresses Joshua and his fellow priests with a long-awaited announcement. God now affirms the point of vision number 4, namely that Joshua, his priestly companions, were symbolic of things that are to come. In this official priestly cleansing from sin, they prefigured the future cleansing of the nation Israel at the second advent of Jesus Christ. The men sitting with Joshua are a wondrous sign, a type. They are a sign or foreshadowing of Israel's future. Future conversion, cleansing, and ministry. God has a plan for Israel. And it's Israel will continue on. Israel will not be destroyed. The Jewish people will not be removed from the face of the earth. God has these 4 unconditional covenants to Israel. But there will be a great cleansing, conversion, cleansing, and ministry following the second advent of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, we have the word mopate. And mopate is the word for a sign or a wonder, a special display of God's power. It's a sign of a future event. Joshua and his associates, the Levitical priesthood, serve as a symbol, a sign. They are a sign or foreshadowing of Israel's future conversion, cleansing, and ministry. Joshua and the Levitical priesthood are not only believers functioning in a spiritual office, they are also types, types of things that are going to come in the future. When will this transformation take place? It will occur at Messiah's second coming, when he redeems Israel and cleanses it from sin. You see, in the tribulation, there will be phenomenal evangelism. The 2 witnesses, Elijah and Moses, the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And the grace gospel will be given all over the world. And from that evangelism, there will be multitudes of Gentiles that will believe in Christ and multitudes of Jews who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, 3 messianic terms are used to describe the Messiah who will bring cleansing to Israel. The first, he is called my servant, verse 8. Then he's called the branch, verse 8, and third, he is called the stone, verse 9. The first messianic title, my servant, puts the spotlight on the first advent of Jesus Christ. The second messianic title, the branch, puts the spotlight on the second advent of Jesus Christ. The branch will remove Israel's iniquities and bring cleansing to the nation at his second advent. And then in verse 9, we have the third title for the Messiah, the stone. And throughout Scripture, the Messiah is seen as a stone of stumbling, Isaiah 8, 13 and 14, Romans 9, 30 and 33. The Messiah is seen as the rejected stone, Psalm 118, 22 and 23, Matthew 21, 42 to 45. He is the smiting stone at his second advent, Daniel 2, 34 and 35. He is the chief cornerstone, Psalm 118, 22 and 23, Matthew 21, 42. So as a stone, he will bring judgment on the Gentiles, Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And he will be a stone of stumbling for unbelieving Israel, Romans 9, 30 and 33. But ultimately, the Messiah will bring cleansing to Israel and removed the sin of the land in a single day, the second advent. For behold, the stone, which stone? The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have set this stone in front of Joshua, the high priest. In front of you, Joshua. In other words, high priest Joshua, this is a mandate to him. Joshua, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't get your eyes on people. Don't get your eyes on self. Don't get your eyes on things. High priest Joshua, keep your eyes on the Lord. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You must fear the Lord. Category number one, fear of the Lord, humility. Category number two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. The high priest must be occupied with Christ. For behold, the stone, which stone? The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have set in front of Joshua. And there are seven eyes on that one stone. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth. And then we have the last phrase, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that last phrase, this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cow perfect of mush. I'm going to put that up there. You'll think it's mush. Plus the direct object marker, eth, joined by a makef to aon, plus the noun eretz, with the definite article, joined by a makef to the pronoun he, with the definite article, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun yom, and the numeral echav. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, and it converts the perfect tense into the imperfect tense, or the imperfect is the future tense. In other words, that conversive vav is looking forward to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have the verb mush. M long U S H. See, I told you it looked like mush, but it's mush. And mush means to depart or to remove. The first person singular subject, I, is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is he going to remove? Aon. Ion, A, long O, N, Aon. And Aon means iniquity. It's a word for guilt. It's a word for sin. Iniquity, guilt, sin. This is the removal of the punishment for iniquity and the removal of sin, the forgiveness of sin. And then we have Eretz Hahi, Eretz Hahi of this land, and then Beyom Echav. Beyom Echav is in one day, in a single day. So the corrected translation now, verse 9 sounds like this. For behold, the stone, which stone, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, I have set in front of you, Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth. And I will remove the iniquity forgiveness of sins of this land in one day. One. The phrase, I will remove the iniquity of this land in one day, refers to Israel's redemption at the Messiah's second advent. Israel's redemption at the Messiah's second advent. Two, God will pour out His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The Father will pour out His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on the people of Israel. And their blindness will be removed. When this happens, their blindness will be removed, and they will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him! And they realized they were the ones that wanted Jesus Christ crucified. They will realize that He is the Messiah. That they were 100% totally wrong. That He is the Messiah. And that will, when that blindness comes off and they realize they see Christ, He is the Messiah. The one we crucified. He is the Messiah. So three, they will repent. This is biblical repentance. They will change their thinking. Instead of hating Jesus Christ, they realize He is the Messiah. And now they believe in Christ. They change their thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and they believe in Him. They believe in Him for eternal salvation. Now, we're going to get there eventually. We're in Zechariah, well, we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 4 here in a few minutes. But I want you to turn ahead, look ahead to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12, we'll start at verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit, and the Spirit is God the Holy Spirit, and He has a title here. God the Holy Spirit has a title, the Spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on Me, the one they have pierced. Of course, this is their ancestor. They wanted Christ crucified. They will look on Me, the ones they have pierced, and they will mourn for Him as one mourns for an only child. And they will grieve bitterly for Him as one grieves for a firstborn. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great, like the weeping of Hadad Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves. The clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives. Chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. And turn over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, we're going to start at verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, royal family, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So, the last verse, verse 10. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, the preposition bath prefixed to the noun yom, plus the pronoun who with a definite article and the cal passive participle of na'am, plus the tetragrammaton with the plural of sava, that's Jehovah Tsevaoth. The preposition bath means in. And then Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 215, says that when the pronoun who is used with the definite article, as it is in our verse, this is the emphatic use and is correctly translated that with the preposition bath, in that yom. Yom is day, in that day. And then we have Na'am Jehovah Tsevaoth. In that day declares Jehovah Tsevaoth. In that day declares the Lord of the armies. In that day declares the Lord Almighty. And then we have shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine? And under the fig tree, we have the cal imperfect of the verb kara, plus the noun ish, plus the preposition lamath, prefixed to the noun re'ah, with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to the preposition tachet, plus the noun gefen, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the preposition el, joined by a makef to the preposition tachath again, plus the noun teina, the noun ish. Aleph, long I, S-H. Now here is the word for man, ish. Okay, we do. All right, well, I didn't. I got a laugh out of it when I saw it, but all right. Ish. It means man, each man, every man, each of you, every one of you. This is the believers in the millennial kingdom. Every one of you, each of you, every man. And then kara. Q-A-R-A, Aleph, kara. And kara can mean to call or cry out, to utter a loud sound. It can also mean to invite. And that's how it's used here. You're going to invite your neighbors and friends and people living all around, you're going to invite them to, well, you know what? What we have here is a 1,000-year picnic. A 1,000-year picnic. And what are you going to, well, you're going to definitely have grapes and figs. Grapes and figs. Now, you probably have other things too, but you'll definitely have grapes and figs. And then we have, you will invite, looking forward to the future, millennial kingdom. Every one of you will invite Reah, third person singular suffix, his friend, his neighbor, El Tachat Geffen, to sit under his vine, and to sit El Ve'el Tachat Te'ena, and sit under his fig tree. The millennial kingdom will be a 1,000-year picnic. And that day, declares the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tzevaoth, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and under his fig tree. One, the phrase in that day is eschatological. It's eschatological. Two, it pictures the time when Israel will experience world peace, great prosperity, and productivity in the millennial kingdom. It pictures a time when Israel will experience world peace. No one is trying to destroy. There's no anti-Semitism. They're not trying to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. So it pictures a time when Israel will experience world peace, great prosperity, and productivity in the millennial kingdom. Three, neighbors sitting under the vine and under the fig tree speaks of great world peace and contentment that will characterize the 1,000-year millennial age. Neighbors sitting under the vine, under the fig tree, speaks of the world peace and contentment. Contentment and happiness that will characterize the 1,000-year millennial age. Four, God's divine plan, his divine purpose for Israel, continues to be immutable and absolutely secure. God's divine plan and purpose for Israel continues to be immutable and absolutely secure. Five, in that day, Israel will be like a burning branch rescued from the fire of annihilation. Satan came close to annihilating Israel and the Jewish people from the face of the earth in the tribulation. But in the millennial kingdom, following that spiritual revival from the two witnesses and 144,000 super evangelists, in that day, Israel will be like a burning branch rescued from the fire of annihilation. Six, Israel will be cleansed from sin. Cleansed from sin. Clothed in righteousness. And forged into a kingdom of priests that will minister to the whole world. And forged into a kingdom of priests that will minister to the whole world. 7. This revelation of God's faithfulness to Israel gave Zechariah and Joshua hope and encouragement. Hope in the sense of confident anticipation that God will fulfill His promises. 8. In every age, Jewish people who anticipate the Messiah's return and reign in the millennial kingdom can likewise take confidence and hope in these promises. In every age, Jewish people who anticipate the Messiah's return and reign in the millennial kingdom can likewise take great confidence in God's promises to Israel. Nine, God has made 4 unconditional promises to Israel, the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. And He will keep these 4 unconditional promises. They depend entirely upon the living and true God. So, there's chapter 3. Chapter 3 is in the can. Wahoo! I got to get chapter 3 off the pulpit and get chapter 4 out here. Not to worry. Chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Now in chapter 4 we have the 5th vision of Zechariah. The 5th vision of Zechariah. This is the vision of the gold lampstand and the 2 olive trees. The vision of the gold lampstand and the 2 olive trees. This vision in Zechariah chapter 4 has had a very significant impact on the nation Israel today. And they've taken the absolute truth of this vision in Zechariah 4 and have used it in, first of all, the beginning of the nation in 1949, and then in their Knesset, their parliament where they meet. It's all based on this vision right here. So, by way of introduction, 1, the official seal for the state of Israel that was unveiled on February 10th, 1949 consists of a 7-branched menorah or lampstand. Menorah is the lampstand. The official seal for the state of Israel that was unveiled on February 10th, 1949 consists of a 7-branch lampstand or menorah with an olive branch on both sides. 2. Opposite the entrance to the Israeli Knesset, and the Knesset is their parliament, Opposite the entrance to the Israeli Knesset or parliament stands a great menorah, a great lampstand, with branches that reach 16 feet high and 13 feet wide. Opposite the entrance to the Israeli parliament, Knesset, stands a great lampstand or menorah with branches that reach 16 feet high and 13 feet wide. Three, this particular lampstand is decorated with figures highlighting Israel's history and engraved with a quotation from Zechariah 4, verse 6, our chapter, Zechariah 4, 6, which says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth." So this particular lampstand, with figures highlighting Israel's history and engraved with the quotation from Zechariah 4, 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Jehovah Tsevaoth." Four, the menorah or the lampstand, olive branches, and inscription are symbols of the rebirth of the nation Israel. The lampstand, olive branches, and inscription are symbols of the rebirth of the nation Israel. Five, this is a graphic reminder and witness of God's power and promise to preserve the Jewish people. This is a graphic reminder and witness of God's power and promise to preserve the Jewish people. Six, the inspiration for both Israel's seal and the inscription on the great lampstand menorah was taken from Zechariah's fifth vision in chapter 4. The inspiration for both Israel's seal and the inscription on the great lampstand was taken from Zechariah's fifth vision in chapter 4. Seven, these same symbols that inspired modern-day Israel were first used centuries earlier to inspire Zerubbabel to finish construction of the second temple. These same symbols that inspired modern day Israel were first used centuries earlier to inspire Zerubbabel to finish the construction of the second temple. Eight, in 536 B.C., a spiritually mature believer, a Persian, an Iranian, spiritually mature believer, Cyrus the Great, proclaimed a decree permitting the Jews to go back to the land to Judah. Why? To build a temple for the living and true God. Boy, what a time. A lot of things have really changed in Iran. I don't think you'll find any Cyrus the Greats in Iran today. You won't find any Darius Hystaspes in Iran today. Those were great, great winner believers, mature believers. In 536 BC, Cyrus the Great, spiritually mature believer, proclaimed a decree permitting the Jews to go back to the land and rebuild the temple. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Second Chronicles 36. It's the very end of Second Chronicles. Verse 22. The decree of Cyrus. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that's Iran, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up to Judah, Jerusalem, and build this temple. Now, just that's the last few verses in 2 Chronicles. Just turn one page. Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. The decree of Cyrus. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm, through the entire Persian Empire, and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Anyone of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to, these are Gentiles in the Persian Empire. He's telling them, living are to provide him, give these Jews silver and gold with goods and livestock and with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Okay. Well, that's the first 8 points on our introduction, but we're just getting warmed up. But at least we're in chapter 4. Aha. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.